chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read one verse, and that's verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. My subject tonight is followers of God. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, penned some great, grand, and glorious truths in the book of Ephesians. You read that chapter 1, and it's a hallelujah chapter. We find out how that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We find out how that God works all things according to the counsel of His own will. That He does according to His good pleasure. And that puts us right on shouting grounds if we believe that truth. If we don't, it makes us mad. We go on to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we find that he talks about a great and a glorious subject. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Going down in that second chapter, in the third chapter, and we, of course, come to the glorious truth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, built upon the foundation of the apostles in Jesus Christ, Himself being the chief cornerstone. Talks about it as a building fitly framed. And the reason for this is because we know who the architect is. And he tells us who he is, the one that is to receive the honor and the glory and the praise. And brethren, he saved us for his honor, and he called us even to his service for his honor. He placed us in a New Testament Baptist church for his honor and for his glory. And it'll be more than just something. It'll be in time. It'll be in eternity. It'll be through those grand chapters of 21 and 22 of Revelation, the eternal ages. It'll be there. We heard of that. He goes on in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and begins now to get down to business with the people. And he begins to talk to them how that there are some things that are essential if they have unity in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll talk about seven essentials. And he'll go down through there and he'll talk about subjects like one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope. And he'll talk about these great truths that we believe. And each of them a subject within themselves. And a church that will come to these truths will come to the unity of the faith. I believe the Apostle Paul was concerned at the church of Ephesus that there might be unity. And so he goes through this fourth chapter and he talks about the office of a bishop. He talks about the purpose of the man of God that he places over a New Testament Baptist church for the perfecting of the saints. And he says in this, till we all come in unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man of the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we see that he goes on and he talks about the body being fitly joined and framed together. And it concerns me that the church that I pastor be a church that fits. A church where there is a unity. A church where there's compassion. A church where there's love. A church where there's knowledge. A church where there's zeal. That concerns me. And he said that it maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. He goes on in that book and gets down to the fifth chapter. We talk about all of the great truths of God. And I thought about, I told Brother Garnet Smith, I've wrestled with two messages. And I had another message that I thought maybe the Lord might want me to preach until I found out what time it was. And I didn't know till the last message and as to what time that it really is and the thing that I'm concerned about. And we know about what Paul said in the last days, that there'd be perilous times. And we know that he said there'd be men without natural affection. There'd be truce breakers incontinent, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We know those things. But what moves and stirs my heart is what about in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can preach all day about them people outside. And many of them, you'll never be able to see them saved by the grace of God, because it is not according to God's purpose and plan to save them, even though that we preach to them, and even though that we witness to them. But what about Southern expression, you all? Talking about the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are saved. I don't know of a pastor today that his heart is not heavy and burdened for his people and for his church. Amen. Because of what he sees in his people, and how today that we preach the Word of God and our people don't want the Word of God. We preach the Word of God, our people don't hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. We preach the Word of God, and our people do not want to put it into practice into their lives. I tell you, our problem today is, and there's a lot of good saints of God, and I know godly people in your churches, but a lot of people just got on a religious garb. And they wear it in on Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But then they go out the rest of the week and they live like the devil, and they live like the world, and they act like the devil, and they act like the world. Amen. Then when they come into the house of God, what do you expect? So I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he's following down through here, and I'm going to lead up to what I'm really going to preach on here, but he said, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." It's so easy today to get sidetracked, every one of us, and follow someone else besides God and God's Word. We've heard that throughout this conference. It's so easy today to get caught up in the world, in the things in the world, in the styles of the world, and think like the world thinks. Brethren, it influences our churches. I thought as he went on here in this fifth chapter, he talks about several things. And you'll notice in this chapter, God calls upon us to live godly lives. And what he bases his appeal upon is a father and a child relationship. And I believe that we ought to do the same thing with our families. And that's been preached. And I believe it's not an appeal because of the law. It's not an appeal because of a master and a servant. But it's an appeal from a father to his children. And I believe this is the basis of it that we find here in this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And he refers to the relationship of a father and his dear children. And he also talks about a love for us and a love that we're to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, if that won't motivate us, there's nothing else will. I tell you, you have the right kind of relationship in your home with your children, it'll motivate them. And we're failing there. All of our homes are failing in that category. But we're also failing in our churches. I've never seen a day when we murmur and complain anymore, have you? And we're the most privileged people on the face of the earth. We're not only saved by the grace of God, but the Lord has placed us in a church, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we have every advantage that God can give us. And that is the Word of God, as we heard of the night, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You can't improve on that. He talks in this fifth chapter, verse 3 through 6, about the children and the ways of disobedience. He's saying this to warn us. Our children sometimes get tired of hearing. Now, here's what happened to me. And we know. You know the reason we know? It happened to us. And you know the reason we know? We're still suffering the consequences of it. That's the reason that we know. And we find here, he talks about the disobedient to God. He talks about some sins that today that are so prevalent and so rampant, and that's the sin of fornication. And when Paul said, let it not once be named among you. The prevalent sin we hear today in New Testament Baptist churches. How frequently is it that New Testament Baptist churches have to discipline some person from that church because of the sin of fornication and the sin of adultery? I tell you, everywhere I go and preach, every church is in the same shape. And basically every church is experiencing the same problems. And there's a reason for it. And I'm going to point you to that reason, this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. There's a reason for it. I believe that the Word of God was placed there for our edification. I believe it was placed there for the purpose that we might be able to read, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to conduct our lives according to the Word of God. And I don't believe there's anything placed in the Word of God that by the Spirit of God that we can't do by the help of God. He goes on here in verse 7 through 20, and he talks about the way of the children of God. He also said here in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, he didn't say what's acceptable unto me. And he didn't say what's acceptable unto you. He didn't say what's acceptable unto your mom or your dad. Or he didn't say what's acceptable unto some man. But he said, proving what is acceptable unto God. You ever try to justify your sin? And what you do, you pick out somebody else. Do you ever try to justify your church by picking out another church and comparing it with another church? And I believe that we're all guilty of this. And he also mentioned in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, he said, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And I believe that what we really basically need to be concerned with, the primary thing that we could be concerned with first, is the condition of the homes that make up our churches. Because the condition of our homes will be the condition of our church. I'm saddened many times when I hear, and you know, usually I'm the last one to hear. And that's a shame. But I'm saddened sometimes of the ones that I hear in our church that are having problems. And I tell my wife, wonder how many more are having problems and won't say anything about it. And are trying to keep it hid. I believe that he goes on and he says here in this, and I believe that what we know the will of God by the word of God. And as he said in this verse, he said, wherefore be ye not unwise? And many things that we do, even though we're saved with the grace of God and we're a member of a true New Testament Baptist church, is unwise. Because we disobey God's word. And we do not seek God's will for our lives. It's been said already the reason many homes are in problem, they got started wrong. You can't start something wrong, contrary to God's word, and expect it to come out right. God may. In his long suffering and his mercy, he may let it come out all right. But I tell you, you can't take it from a promise that you'll find in God's word. And you can count on this, the Holy Spirit never leads contrary to the word of God. People come and say, Brother Harvey, the Lord wants me to do this. And I'll say, what is it? And they'll tell me, you know, and they'll say, well, I've met this boy or met this girl and said, you know, said, I've fallen in love with them. And I say to them, are they saved? And they'll say, I don't know. And I'll say, are they a Baptist? And I say, and they say, I don't know. I believe the Word of God teaches us, and our churches need to teach. And I believe that our men of God in the churches here do teach. Saved or to marry saved, and Baptist or to marry Baptist. And if you get anything else, you've got an unequal yoke. And all you'll have is heartache and misery. That's all you'll have. It may just be peradventure that God in His providence and mercy may intercede and save somebody. Just maybe. But you can't claim His promises that, Lord, I'm doing Your will. Because you're going contrary to the Word of God. Therefore, you are not doing His will. He goes on and he gives some instructions. In the remainder of the chapter, verse 21, down through verse 23. And here's the problem. Here's the key to the whole thing. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to it all, right here. I believe basically here's the answer to every problem in our New Testament Baptist churches. Almost every problem in our New Testament Baptist churches originates from a violation of these scriptures found here in Ephesians chapter 5. And we find here in verse 21 down through verse 23, there are basically two subjects that are dealt with here in this passage of Scripture. One subject is the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with His church and the church with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one subject that is extended through this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Then look what runs parallel with it. The other is the relationship of the husband with the wife and the wife with the husband. And brethren, we find these are the two divine institutions of God that God has ordained and that are in existence today. And I believe we do in our homes any different than we do in our church, I believe that we violate God's word. And I believe that what we suffer is the consequences of it. Now here's the problem. Here's the heart of the whole matter. It all begins and starts here in verse 21. Submitting. There ain't no period there. I'm going to stop right there. Submitting. Hardest thing I find to do myself is to submit. I'm going to confess it first. It is the hardest thing for me to do is to submit to another. Because that's my nature. And it's your nature too. And you let two people, I don't care if they are saved, and members of a New Testament Baptist church, you'll find if they will not heed God's word in the leadership of the Holy Spirit and will submit to the devil, that he will cause them to not to submit. What's the big problem in churches today? People will not submit to that church. In essence, what is the problem? They will not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many churches today, they will not submit to the man of God. What's the problem? And I believe that we see that this goes on and on. And so what we must understand, all Christians are to be under subjection to proper headship. I don't care who you are tonight, there's somebody over you. I believe as to what it's saying in the Word of God. And if you go out in the job market, the same thing's true. There's going to be somebody over you. And what's wrong today, why we can't get products in the United States of any value? You buy a car today, you buy a lemon. Most of them. The reason I know, I've had them. I don't know whether they came from up here or not. They may have come from down south. Because they're making them down there too. And the reason of it is nobody wants to submit to authority. Nobody wants to work. They want to get paid. But they don't want to work. And that thing, it's on the job. It gets into the home and it filters right over into the church. That old attitude prevails. Brethren, I believe the Word of God speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about headship. Now if you'll look there with me, I'm just going to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 11. Now look how he starts off this letter. Be ye followers of me, even as I so also am of Christ. Notice who it is that we're to follow. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver unto you. But I would have you know, here it is. Now here's what hurts me, and here's what breaks my heart. We know this truth, but we make fun of it. We play around this truth. Some woman that don't want to submit says, yeah, he's the head, but I'm the neck. I know what you're doing. You're mucking with God. I tell you what, the Word of God's no laughing matter. And it isn't what I think or what I say, it's what God says. What we've done, we've fallen in this old trap the world laid for us. You know what? We become so accustomed to rubbing elbows with people who don't submit to this truth that we don't take it really like we ought to also. And we feel like that we can lightly take the Word of God and joke about it. I tell you, when the Word of God says something, say it like it says it, preach it like it, preach it, and don't start trying to. You'll notice men will preach what I'm going to preach here, and they'll start explaining it away before they ever get to it. And I'm no different than that, but by the grace of God. And I thought I preached this message at my church Sunday night. And I said, Lord, give me the grace. And give me the ability. Preach the truth that my people need to hear. And that would turn them around. And would turn this church around. For we would be the salt of the earth, Brother Hancock. People look at us and laugh at us and make fun because we make fun of the truth too. That's what we do. Now look what he says here. And I would have you know, the head of every man is Christ. And I'm not going to apologize for what I'm going to read next. And the head of the woman is the man. Don't water that down to suit your wife. And don't water that down to suit the women of your church. And that's what we've been doing. Brother, that's what we've been doing. So they don't put me in that we. That's what we've been doing. Now look. And the head of Christ is God. He goes on and talks about every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if she be ashamed for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Now notice. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, inasmuch as he is the image of the glory of God. But the woman is of the glory of the man. That's what I want you to see. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Don't water that truth down. Amen. And I believe this is exactly the problem that we have today. And I think this is why we have problems in our churches. I really believe this is the key. We find what we find here is proper headship. It's not my doctrine. It's God's doctrine. It's not Harvey's order. It's divine order. And I couldn't change it if I wanted to. And I shouldn't want to change it. You know what we do? Lots of times I'll preach in the church that I pastor, and I'll preach to the men, and then I'll preach to the women. And you know what will almost happen every time I do that? They'll make a joke out of it. I mean, they start joking about it. And rather than taking it what it says, they say, oh, he's going to get you all tonight. I'm not going to get anybody. Now, I believe we're too frivolous. This is the Word of God. And to be followers of God, we must follow God's Word. It is for edification. And I believe that we see here what it's teaching in this passage of Scripture. Wives should be under subjection to their own husbands. Now, I believe headship extends even beyond the home. Now, we'll dabble with it a little in the church, and we'll dabble a little with it in the home, but we won't dabble with it in the world. We had a woman governor. I didn't vote for her. She is out of her place. You know why? Headship. At this present time, we have a woman magistrate. We don't need her. And I'm not saying anything about their person or their integrity. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm talking about God's divine order. I'm talking about headship. So I believe that headship applies in the home. I believe that headship applies in the church. And I believe that headship applies in the public. Everywhere that we go, a woman is to be in subjection to the man, whether it is her husband or not, in the public. Brother, you don't hear much preaching on that today. And we have totally been led astray by the world. And this brother, our dear brother, said before us, we've got caught up in fast living. We got ourselves way over heels in debts, and we say, I can't do nothing else. You can do something else. You can live by the means that God wants you to live by and give you, and you can take your respectful place that God has given you. And I'll tell you what, there will not be the problems in these homes, and there will not be the problems in this church and my church. Amen. If we'll do that. What it is, we don't want to. What it is, we don't have no intentions of doing. Many women today don't have any intentions. They'll give lip service to subjection, but they don't have any intentions of being in subjection to their husband. No intentions whatsoever. You say, that's pretty strong. That's the way it is. And I don't know your heart, but you know your heart. You answer it for yourself. Between you and the Lord. Between you and the Holy Spirit. Answer it for yourself. My concern is for these young boys and girls that are coming up, and the kind of example that we're setting before them, brethren. Amen. You know what these young ladies are going to do? They're going to do the same thing mama does. And mama's been doing. And you know what these young men are going to do? They're going to do the same thing daddy's doing. And daddy's been doing. It'll only be a miracle of God's grace if your children get turned around the right way. That's what it'll be. And I believe, and the reason that I thought tonight, and I'm loud and everything, and I don't mean this for envy or hatred. I mean this from love. I mean this from a compassion for people today. I mean it for the cause of truth. If our churches are going to ever turn around, this is the day that they're going to have to be turned around. If they're going to turn around, we're the ones that are going to have to turn them around. By the men of God preaching the Word of God, and people listening to the Word of God, heeding the Word of God, and following the Word of God. So it says, wives, be under subjection to your own husbands. Now let's look at this in verse 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now notice this. Even as. Now what happens, and I told the church Sunday night, I said, I don't do this to keep from having questions. But when I preach truth like this and somebody comes out with a little question, I know immediately they don't believe what I preached. I know immediately. You know, if you want to get out of something, if you want to get out of answering something, ask another question. Now, I'm not opposed to counseling. You pastors counsel all you want to. And if it's necessary, I'll talk to my people. But I've usually got one word in counseling, and that's repent. Because all of most counseling is, they want you to come and agree with them. And they want you to soothe and satisfy them in their position. And there may be a time that God's people need to be comforted, and they may need the Word of God, but the majority of times what they need to do is to repent. Almost always. That's right. And you'll notice it says here, for the husband is the head of the wife, and you know you have people today that'll say, you mean that's really the way it is, and you mean that I have to really do that? You don't have to do anything. But it says, notice, do you believe that Christ is the head of the church? If you believe that Christ is the head of the church, why do you find it so hard to believe that the husband is the head of the wife? Because the Holy Spirit said, even as. Now notice what he says here. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, and brethren, we are subject unto Christ. And the reason as a church we're subject unto Christ is because he's our head. And we don't have any right to do anything that is contrary to him. Now you better watch how you say amen to that. Because this truth says, again, even as. And lots of times, you know, to pacify people's feelings, and so people will not feel that you're too strong on this thing, we say, but now I'd like to really explain this. Let me tell you what it says here. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And somebody said, what's that mean? It means what it says. Amen. In everything. And it's been said, well, I can't do that because you don't know what kind of a husband I've got. I'm not talking about a billy goat husband. I'm not talking about that, and the Scriptures is not talking about that. Who's the comparison to? Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a husband that's saved by the grace of God. I'm talking about a husband that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves His Word, that loves His church, that loves His wife. And in the context, that's what that verse of Scripture is talking about. And brethren, when you have that kind of a combination, this verse is not hard for women at all to be in subjection to their husbands in everything. Thing that breaks my heart, I don't understand this. A lot of women give lip service to their husbands. And they don't do anything you see. Now come on. I know you women can't say amen to that. I know that and I realize that. But I'm talking about what's wrong in our New Testament Baptist churches today and why we're not having revival. I'm talking about why the divorce rate is so high even in among the New Testament Baptist churches today. I'm talking about why our homes is in such a mess. It's right here in the Word of God. When we, by the power of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, when we return to this truth, hearing the Word of God as husbands and wives, we'll see a revival in our home, we'll see a revival in our church, and we'll see a difference in our children. Amen. I thought about this. He says here, also, he says in this about this, he said, wives should reverence their own husband. Find that hard, don't you? You know why? Because you're depraved. And I find hard what he tells me to do because I'm depraved too. I tell you, one of the most sickening things to me is a wife talking about her husband. I don't mean good, but I mean run him down. And getting around other people and saying, you just don't know. My husband. I tell you, somebody, you better watch. They're setting you up. And what they're going to do, you're going to jump on their bandwagon with them and get yourself in trouble. is exactly what you're going to do in that. And I believe. And look, I didn't bring this up. The Word of God has said, verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now what does it mean? It means what it says. And I'm not going to water that down or apologize for it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I believe that we have an example. I believe one example in the Word of God is followed up with another example in the Word of God. And some, well, see what we do. We get out in the, women get out in the job market and they rub their elbows with the world, and the world tells them, are you silly woman? And they say to them, well, I wouldn't do that, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't, but listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 1 through 7. And I know the context of it. It said, likewise, you wives, be in subjections to your own husbands. Now, I want you to notice the kind of husband this is. This isn't a husband that's a God-fearing husband. It isn't a husband that loves the Lord, and it isn't a husband that's a member of a New Testament Baptist church. But look what it says. And said, you mean I have to be in subjection to my husband even though he's not saved? That's what the Word of God says. Now see, we make exceptions. That's the way people do with divorce. They make exceptions. Said that if any obey not the word, they also without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. I tell you how not to win your unsaved husband. Just don't do anything God's word says. Don't be in subjection to him. Kick him. Bite him. Nag all the time. That's one way you won't win him. Now look what it says here. It says that they also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's the life. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. I shouldn't say this if I'm going to. Some people make me so sick. They become so self-righteous when they're at church or when they're around the Word of God, I mean the man of God. And then when they get away from it, they turn loose. And I use that word loose loosely. I really do. They turn loose. And they fight and they fuss and they spat. Did you know why you can't have services many times on Sunday morning? It's because most families fight on the way to church. And I mean, if they don't fight between husband and wife, they fight with the kids, and the kids are fighting with the folks. Man told me in the church, I preached this, and he said, and he sort of stirred me up in the right way. And he said, you know, said it used to be there's a great example. And we'd get together, family together, and we'd get together. And what we would do is the men would all eat first. Now think about it. And he said, you know what that was teaching? Headship. Now think about it. I mean, I'm not coming up with no new doctrine. I'm just quoting you what a man in my church told me. But he said, you know who it is eats first now most of the time? The kids. And he said, they go along and they'll mess over the food. They'll take the chicken breast. He might have been, must have been hungry. And said, here a working man comes along and has to take a wing. Now, he might have had an dirty motive there, but I believe he had a point. And he said, then when they get 16 or when they get 13 years old, they'll be telling you where to go, where you can't go, what time you're going to get there, or what time you're not going to get there. And that's where we are today. people come to the church that I pastor, and I would like to tend to their kids. I don't mean literally that I'd like to babysit them. But you get the point, don't you? I'm harder on my children than anybody else. I'm harder on my grandchildren than anybody else. You know why? Because I love them. Because I know what God's Word says. Families today, they don't never eat together. They don't pray together. They don't sleep together. Everybody, they have a five-menu breakfast. When I grew up, and you say, there you go again. We got up, we ate, me and my dad, we'd eat 15 biscuits apiece. We'd eat sausage and bacon and milk gravy. And I loved it. And if I didn't eat it, there wasn't anything else for me to eat. I'll tell you, it all hinges just from this one thing that I'm preaching here. And I believe this is the problem in our churches today, is headship. And he went on and he talked. And I'm going to be like somebody else. I better cut this thing off. But anyway, what I want to say here is that now what's the manner and the scope of the wife's subjection to her husband? It says there in verse 23 and 24, in everything. People, women today say, you mean that's what it means? That's what it means. And we say, now, I don't believe you ought to make your wife a slave. I don't believe that either. See, we apologize, we water it down. Say, now, I'm not talking about this and that. See, we don't believe people don't understand what the Word of God says. People don't want to hear what the Word of God says. They want you to water it down. But you'll find also it says, what about though then the manner and the scope of the husband's love for his wife? Now here's the key too. And not only is the woman responsible, but the man's responsible. The man is the responsible. The man is the authority. I believe there's the authority of God. There's the authority of Christ. There's the authority of the church. And I believe there's the authority of the man in the home. And when you reverse that around, you're done in heap big trouble.
You'll have more fusses and fights if you don't accept that truth. And your home will end up in a disaster. Your children will watch. And...